SOS. The think I'm the cutest.
Wrong one. What's up, good people?
You didn't have to hit your J. Cole like that. This has nothing to do with J. Cole. Just play like 10 more seconds of that, Kendrick. 8 more seconds. Alright, you got 87.
That was my worst fade yet, but it's all right. I'll get better. Shout out to the good people who fuck with us. Shout out to my house, the studio that we're currently in right now. Touchdowns and Tangents, your Thursday night spot for NFL takes, topical tangents, and concise commentary for the culture. I'm PD Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Berry.
Yeah, man, another week. We made it through. Sometimes I don't know how, but we're here. And a lot of shit happened in the NFL, mainly the big schedule drop. So we got a cool guest coming through, friend of the show. Stay tuned for that. Outside of that, though, man, how's your week been?
Man, made it this far. Like, I'm waiting for this Kendrick drop. That'll get me through next week. Mother's Day pass. This is my sister's first Mother's Day. Got her something nice. Her and my mom like a panda set with some body wash. Shout out to the homie, Roger. He hooked that up. Shout out to my former coworkers at Chick-fil-A, man. I miss y'all. Y'all really great people. So, yeah, I can say that. This whole time I was working at Chick-fil-A, guys. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't a not known fact.
It definitely wasn't known. I never told anybody. But, yeah, shout out to all my people still at Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, Venice and Marina Del Rey, the best one. Run very great. Management, top to bottom. Really great people. Salute to them. But, yeah. And then I took my sister to go see Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which really should have been Scarlet Witch just puts her dick on the table and slaps everybody with it. Because, yeah, that I've there's so much they can, there's so many places they can go from here after that movie, which is why it was so good. But also, depending on where they go, this movie might get looked at as like really shitty from the basis of introducing new characters and what happens to them or doesn't happen to them. But, yeah, man, my mom's birthday is this Sunday. Shout out to the homie Raul. His birthday is his baby shower coming up this Saturday. So to a friend of the show, brother in arms, journalistically speaking. Yeah, man, he's having a boy. So salute to everybody having kids out here through the pandemic and everything else, building lives and families and whatnot. It's beautiful. And my nephew was like, his birthday, he's going to be 1 year, like the 27th of this month.
Damn, 26. I can't believe it's already been a year, bro. That's wild.
Yeah, bro. He's to the point where he's standing up. He's just using everybody as like, he'll lean on your back just to stand up on his own. And he's damn near almost about to start walking.
It'll take a little man to the park, man. Let him stretch his legs.
I'm saying, I'm excited. It's just like when you just see like
mom's gonna have him running the track pretty soon.
Man, he gonna be on a bike. I'm gonna have to be running full speed chasing his ass down once he gets a big wheel because he already moves his feet insanely fast for like a toddler. Like he's over. He puts Sheamus to shame. With them bro kicks. Like if my nephew kicks you in the face, it'll feel like a grown man punched you. Just letting you know that right now. Like the boy got a future in soccer at least. But yeah. Salute to Isaiah. But yeah, it's kind of been a quiet week as far as NFL. I mean, after the draft, free agent she's going to pick back up soon. But well, right now, we got the schedules.
I mean, it's like even like last week when we were talking to Gil, and it's kind of just that, that this is kind of like the 1 to 2 weeks where it's kind of like things are a little bit more quiet. You take a little bit more time to like rest and process what's going on with the draft. You know, next up, we're going to start having more OTAs and mini camps, and then we'll build up the training camp, all that good stuff. But for the meantime, it's pretty much just a schedule drop, which many athletes have already called overrated. I'm not sure if I would call it overrated. I like how the teams are kind of taking their own spin on it. And like, you know, for instance, you had the Cowboys drop that video with the deep fake parody of like Stephen A. You had the Chargers who did like a little anime adaptation for their schedule drop. So people are definitely getting much more creative with it, which is cool. But also, like, at the end of the day, like, it really is not much news. Because you already know the teams are going to play. It's really just kind of ironing out. And then you got fake accounts on Twitter out here making fake leaks, trying to get
10,000 followers.
Yeah. Why are you in the Zoom right now?
Because I'm about to add people to it.
I just sent you the invite. You just had to copy and paste it and send it to him.
That's what I'm about to do. I just wanted to jump in and make sure it works. And we're about to have a special guest on, in addition to our special guest. This is about to be a late-ass show. I'm just letting you know right now.
Well, here goes the Kenny show.
No. No, no, it's not going to be that.
Let's see.
Let's
see your growth, King. See your growth in a month, King.
Pause. Yeah. All I know is when it comes to the schedule release, it's almost like, imagine if like a singer told you when the release date was before it got pushed back.
I don't know. I don't really get that analogy, but.
But no, like, imagine.
Considering your favorite
not,
artist.
Not Kendrick. Not Kendrick.
Took a 7-year hiatus.
And he still put out bigger, more memorable songs than Big Sean. Hurts, don't it?
Wow. That was unnecessary.
Was it, though?
You really didn't need to say that, but all right.
I mean, he said, say Candyman, and nobody said Candyman for 7 years. Keep that in mind. Drake didn't even say it.
Well, who was going to step to him?
That's the point.
I feel
no
like,
one's stepping to Kendrick in this era.
I feel like few things.
Except Lupe.
I feel like.
Big Crit.
Lupe. He said Big Crit.
Don't you fucking disrespect Big Crit. Don't you ever Big Crit. You're sorry. You want to disrespect Big Crit? Okay. Keep playing with Mississippi and see what happens.
Not disrespecting Big Crit. He's a good artist. He's just kind of niche when you compare
great.
Him to,
he's a great
compare,
rapper.
When you compare him to Kendrick, he's kind of niche.
We're talking talent, not media hype or having a whole coast behind you. He said it himself. Not a lot of people make it out of Mississippi, bro.
All right, so on the line with us, we got the one, the only, the legend, the GOAT. The Kenny in another multiverse.
Variant.
What's up, Phil?
The America Chavez of...
What up?
Man, Phil. First off, how you feel about the Kendrick album dropping? Are you excited? Does the DMV get up for Kendrick? Or what's that situation like?
Well, how can I put it? It's like peace to the Middle East, bro. Because if I had to hear a motherfucker playing Jack Harlow one more fucking time.
Thank you. I'm about to snitch to the feds on Jack Harlow.
Listen. And Jack Harlow can kiss my black ass. Making two black men carry him at the Kentucky Derby because he didn't want to get his shoes dirty.
He had black shoes and a white suit. Like, why did you wear a white suit, stupid?
You stupid motherfucker. And who the fuck still eat KFC? You know what KFC stands for? Killing fucking color.
Well, we already know what their breading is made out of. Tell Pete about Church of Chicken. He don't believe me.
Yo, the bread is made off the ashes of fucking Klansmen. Dead Klansmen.
So they keep it spicy. That's why it gives black people such really bad heart rates. And the bread, think about why is the biscuits at all these chicken places so dry? Because my mom makes biscuits. She ain't never made a dry biscuit in her life. I'm just saying.
First off, if it ain't mama, if it ain't mammy making them biscuits, don't eat that shit.
Yep. Not even if it's a girl you like. Don't trust it. You might fuck around and hate her for the rest of your life because she can't make a moist biscuit.
Hey, bro, you want to hear? Hey, dog, don't even talk about trying to date somebody making food because that shit was hell for me.
All right, man. Well, let me ask you this before. Hold on. Let me introduce our other special guest we got here on the line. Another friend of the show, another fellow great black journalist, Cedric Wilton. What's good, Seed? How you doing?
What's going on, man? I appreciate the introduction. Thank you.
No worries, no worries. Also on the line with us, we got Phil Jones. It's me, Kenny. We're talking the NFL schedule drop, and also
Kendrick. And Pete doesn't respect Big Crit. I need somebody to jump in here because he said Big Crit is good and not great. I said Big Crit is on Kendrick's level lyrically.
No, he's not. He's niche compared to Kendrick.
You see what I deal with?
I'm gonna let y'all fight to the death on that one.
I'm not touching that. I'm not a Crit listener, but I know
I'm gonna let them fight to the death on that one.
First off, Phil, you're the DMV. Don't make me bring up all the DMV artists that you feel like are really dope. People in Cali don't rock with. Because you know Pete has Wale on it.
I'm just going to say this.
Mississippi is mighty close to the DMV.
I'm going to get slandered for this. But.
You should.
Wale could put out the exact same song as the Heart 5 and nobody would listen to it.
Oh, God. Here we go.
The exact same cadence.
As a who?
Wale, if he put out the Heart 5, the same exact song.
The dude made a song with Lady Gaga that ended up on Madden.
Nobody would play it.
Okay.
I don't know. Wale is one of my favorite rappers. He's also a Commanders fan. So.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, I'm a big Wale fan. But what I'm saying is, it's like the Heart 5 was cool, but, like, people got way too wet over it. Like, let's calm down.
Ooh, I don't know.
That wasn't even the best. The Heart out of the Heart series.
The Nipsey verse had everybody crying.
So my favorite Heart series is the Heart Part 3. You can't really stream that. You gotta listen to it on YouTube.
Facts.
But you there's so many nuggets and Easter eggs in the Heart 5 that you just gotta respect. Like the mastery behind him waiting for these 5 years. Like this is not just a record. You gotta go back and literally look at the think pieces. Look at how everybody's dissecting everything. There's like a message behind this track.
And I get that. And I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is we can't always give a cop out for the bigger than message to Kendrick. When I'm just saying, like, lyrically, bar for bar, if Wale or Big Sean put out that exact same track.
You see how he just pigeonholed Big Sean?
Word for word.
Oh, God.
Nobody would care.
Hey. Big Sean dropped an album.
Kendrick's the bigger artist.
Fair enough.
The better artist.
Fair enough.
But better than if you want Sean. You want to argue better, that's cool. I'm saying he's the bigger artist.
Yeah.
He just is.
But Pete's issue is he thinks that Big Sean is better than Kendrick.
I never said that.
You said that.
I never said that.
You came down off that hill because you realized you were going too far. But you did say, man, Sean can hang with Kendrick. Well,
Sean can't put together an album.
On the songs that they own together, I can't say that he has. I know he probably could, but since he hasn't had that Kanye production, his stuff has kind of fell off.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think just overall, he doesn't have that same big picture vision. as Kendrick and some of the other artists that have put together much better albums.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's people in Michigan that don't even rock with Sean like that.
Ouch.
Adjacent, yeah. I think there was someone, some beef came out of that Detroit freestyle he had.
The Royce fans.
Something like that.
And what's the other dude?
I know, was it the pandemic season? I forget when it was. There was a football season where they had Big Sean perform. It might have been last year, this most recent season, that he performed at the Lions game.
Oh, yeah.
And like it, there was nobody paying attention to him being there at all.
Boos. There were boos. I remember that. I remember that distinctly. That's not happening to Kendrick.
They said, boo this nigga.
I'm just saying, like, we can all love these artists, but we got to realize there's a pecking order. And Wale, I'm sorry, Wale's not top 100.
Wow.
Oh, hold on. Wait, all time?
All time? He's not top 100. That's wild. That's wild. Top 100? There's at least 80 dudes from the 90s we can name. You're telling me he's cracking the top 100?
You can name 100 better artists than Wale?
If I could sit down and write it down from like the 90s till now, yeah.
I would love to see this. Are you talking about by music making or are you talking about just like lyrically?
Artistry, and okay, lyrically, he's top 100. But artistry?
I think that, better as an artist than as a lyricist.
Some R&B cats going to cut the line in front of him. I hope you know that.
That's tough, man. Album About Nothing, one of the best albums I've ever heard.
Chris Brown raps better than Wale.
Chris Brown can rap, and I will hold you. I won't even hold you. Chris Brown can rap.
He's thank not you.
A better rapper than
Mirage, than Nas?
Distant rappers.
Oh, I feel like
Chris Brown's an alien. He can do anything.
Hey, look, before I had Chris Brown come slap you, I put it like
this. I'll sue.
Hey, be careful. He's in the back of the damn SUV.
He's undefeated lately.
But Wale, I mean, plus, you know, everybody was like, well, he in the DMV with you. True. You know, I know his cousin, his family, and all that stuff. I mean, it's good stuff, but like Wale back in the day, I fuck with it. Wale now, it's just like it's good.
He's jaded. Know? Is he trying to be in LA too much?
That's the problem.
Any from Virginia? Any not actually from Maryland in particular? You're not from PG County, I know that.
Bro, he's PG County.
And a lot of people say that don't count, because that's like the bougie part.
Oh, fuck out of here.
A lot of people say that's the bougie part. I have people who are from the DMV and they refuse to call it the DMV. So I'm confused.
They refuse to call PG County part of the DMV?
No, they won't call it the DMV. They're like outsiders call it the DMV. But I know people who are from like the heart of the DMV.
Hey, look. No.
I get conflicting reports.
Look, we just don't accept Baltimore or Virginia in the DMV.
Oh. Elaborate, please. So Ravens fans are just on their own?
Yeah, we don't cross that line. It's like Lion King, bro. It's the pride land.
What about the terrorists?
You don't cross that side.
Oh. Wow, this is so universe. Well, I mean, I would get University of Virginia. Virginia Tech, Virginia Beach has to look, count, right?
V-Tech, you know, we fuck with Hampton and all that shit. But other than that, bro, I mean, all of Virginia, we ain't fucking all that shit, bro.
I believe it.
End up in Klan Country 2.0 and
Commonwealth.
Shit.
Commonwealth.
Sundial Town and shit. Motherfuckers be like, boy, where get your black ass from? True story. That shit ain't, hey. Some of them little towns in VA, like, we go further out and shit, like, past Richmond, near Virginia Beach, and all that shit.
Sundown Central.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well,
you kind of head down to North Carolina and shit. Yeah.
Oh, so how you
just?
All right, man. So speaking of making a story out of nothing, this past week, the other news that dropped this week was the NFL schedule. First off, fellas, do you care? One, that's the first question, and two, as journalists. Like, how do you feel about people that are, like, building a clout and following off these fake or whatever you want to call them, schedule drops, these leaks.
To be honest, I really don't give two motherfucking fucks about this damn schedule drop. I mean, shit. Look, now, if I'm right, you know, hey, it's going to be a Halloween game for Raiders Saints. Now, I actually want it on the fucking 31st. That's what I want. But we get the 30th, so Halloween weekend, you know, fuck, I can deal with that. Over it. You know, we all gonna go to, at the end of the day, we all going to a fucking game or not. That's it. The game, that's it. And like, oh, I got the schedule leak. If it's talking about free agency or dropping early picks before they even announce it.
I feel that. Cedric?
If you ain't doing what the fuck I'm doing, I don't give two fucks. And those are two things I can do. Drop draft picks first and free agency. So, yeah.
So, building a following, building clout on the schedule leagues, teach me how. Teach me how. I got more important content to give throughout the rest of the year for y'all to just like and retweet. Teach me how. So I've been seeing people just pick up thousands of followers overnight over a schedule league. I haven't seen a year where the schedule drop has been this relevant and important. And I think it just speaks to the NFL wanting to cut into some of that NBA headlines.
I agree with you on that one right there.
I feel like this year of football, this actual from to this day for the past year, we've seen more and more of it being the NBA season, but like something shaking out with the NFL that kind of just stops the day. Like if you look at all the signings, all the trades, it's more of the NFL trying to be big brother still to the NBA. Is the schedule important? No. Like the games are going to have to play out. Teams are going to be good or they're going to be bad. What fans really care about is who you draft. Who you signing in free agency? We're going to play the same teams in our division every single year. Like we knew, I think the teams, we knew what teams were going to play sometime last year. It's just now we know what time. It doesn't really matter. We know who we got to play.
Yeah, water is wet. The real thing is, I'm going to know what is those season ticket prices going to look like? The tailgates. What's the regulations on marijuana going to look like? Right now.
Listen. Your main focus, if you had not the Vegas, focus on your flight and your hotel costs.
Facts.
Now, if you're going through like Expedia third party and shit, you got your points and all. That's voila, magnificent. What do you do? Pay attention to when they have the specials because we're coming around the time where they have like, I think they had their Memorial Day special coming up probably next week. Where you get like 40 or 50% off. I think like 40% off at the highest on certain rooms and all that stuff. So pay close attention to the discount. Don't be so naive jumping in and trying to grab this, and this, unless it's really your flight, okay? Now, your flight, you know, you can go in and grab that shit, you know, and get it for a good cheap price. Or now, if you're hooked up with like some of these, like, you know, like the Hilton, or if you're hooked up with the Wyndham and all that stuff, hey, whatever deal they're offering you, man, look, see if it's the best one, you take it. But when it comes down to these tickets right now, oh, bro, it's all hyped up and shit right now, and then it's going to die down. The best time to get your ticket is probably
the Friday, Saturday before.
Let's say if you're flying out there and you're going to be out there for a couple days and shit, if you want to get it the week of, get it the week of. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks beforehand. That's not a problem. Within those ranges, that's not a problem.
Yeah. I have Charger season tickets. So I was trying to trade mine for a Rams Raiders. But now, with that shit being opening day, I'm probably just keeping and try to go to the Rams.
Because, like, I put it like this. Now, and because the one thing about with your flights and your hotel, let's say if
you can't find anything within those 2 weeks. It's completely sold out. You still got time to cancel your room and get your money back and all that shit.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's hard too for families, because if you buy a ticket right now, you're gonna be paying double.
Oh hell yeah! Now, if you trying to do that NOAA trip, bruh, you gonna come out of a penny in your pocket, all that shit, bro. You might have to go on and hit the stripper pole for a week or two to make that extra.
We talking Senior Bowl prices?
Hey, bruh. Now, we ain't even talking Senior Bowl prices, bruh.
Because that shit's disrespectful. That needs to be talked about.
Fam, bruh, don't even... Look, the way they had that shit hooked up with Senior Bowl prices, they had that shit like, well, color people, y'all going to stay downtown. Nah, you thought. That's going to be for the players only and the coaches.
Those, I'm talking about those flights, bro. Those flights and the connected flights? Oh,
bro, that shit, how you think I felt, bro? They had me in that little-ass plane and shit, bro. Had me on that plane with PSF motherfuckers and shit, bro. I was like, man, this plane gonna crash, bro. What the fuck? I'm gonna die with these motherfuckers. Ain't this some shit? You know the last word gonna be? They gonna say Brandon Parker was the highest graded PSF score.
That's gonna be the last headline you see when it's going down. Bro,
I can hear the evil morning music being played in the background. Listening to that shit, like, what the fuck?
All right, man. So the other news that dropped this week, you know, the national broadcast along with the schedule, and of course we heard Tom Brady got damn near $40 million to call games when he's out.
$337 million.
Hey, bro, I'm about to say Tom Brady, my biological father, bro. I don't give a fuck.
I'm gonna claim him as the Bay Area now.
He's gonna end up buying the Raiders. I feel like
I saw some journalists really get upset about that too, because people that go to school spend a lot of time learning how to be on TV for a trade. Man, they don't never see them talk paydays.
Hey, bro, you really want me to tag all this shit? Bruh, it's how you fucking network, bro. That's how you really do it. How you networking, who the fuck you get in close contact with, your ass can get right in that shit real quick.
You can't name nobody. And I mean,
don't get me, don't get me wrong, making that money. Don't get me wrong. I ain't putting nobody down to go to school for this shit. Go to school. Get your degree and all that shit, bro. I respect that. But the way this game is played, it's how you network.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that you would like to see actually in the booth? And who might command that?
Aside from like 8 white dudes. All those dudes are white.
Hey, not even trying to be a homer here, but like RG3 is really good.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I ain't knocking him. He good, yeah.
I would like to see Cam, but I feel like the media wouldn't like him.
Hey, brother, come on, nah, fuck that. You know, have him in the fucking booth wearing all them wild ass clothes and shit. Hey, look, nah, you gotta have it.
Sun dried chinchilla suits.
I don't know if he's done it. I know Aqib Talib has done some. I would like to see Marshawn Lynch call some games.
He is.
FCC violation.
It's gonna be on Amazon. It's gonna be on Prime.
Okay.
Oh, that shit's gonna be good. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm a Prime member. He was like, look at this mother. That's why he couldn't do like the whole
the Manning thing. Yeah.
He was cussing up a storm on that bitch.
I mean, Eli was too. No, Peyton was. Peyton dropped an F bomb, didn't he?
Nah. Sean was just letting it out.
I mean, yeah, it was a black dude who works at ESPN. I was thinking of Stan Verrett. He was like, I know a lot more talented people who could be in that position, who should be in that seat, and aren't getting anywhere near that. Shout out to Maria Taylor. She's taking over NBC.
That was money. That was dope.
She got that deal like last year, bro.
Yeah, it became official. Like, she's taking over Mike Tirico.
Yeah.
But it's dope to see, like, okay, well, we got somebody... not a white male or a white woman in that position. And it's like, I was thinking about it. I'm like, think about all the Polynesian cats who have played football, who are coaches right now. Mm-hmm. You've never seen a Polynesian dude call a game. Never seen a Samoan, a Tongan.
That shit would be funny, though.
No, not a Micronesian. Nobody.
Because they would say some inaudible shit and just laugh.
You would hear them say, brother, and they'd be like, oh, shit, we need a translator. Like, I think that's why Roman Reigns is so huge. Is because that, like, wrestling is the one sport where Samoans, like, will get all the attention. And you have to respect that gangster. Hey, look,
I'm not going to lie, bro. But I feel like they're going to put Coach O in the fucking booth this year.
Oh, I would love it. Game day.
They're going to go with this bread, 24 liter water, and he's going to fade. Oh, this shit there, rewind. I got on demand. I'm gonna rewind this shit.
Cover it back.
What the fuck did you say?
I got the trend. I got the subscriptions on. I don't. They can't even translate this shit.
Hey yo, hey, shout out to Coach O for hanging with
Legend.
Me. Me and Ken, you the real one, bruh.
Took pictures. That was a wild day. Like, hey, the fact that he came down for the Senior Bowl like that, him and Neil Farrell, man.
Hey, bro, when he told me Neil Farrell was going to be like, he's going to be that guy. They're going to be long time on anybody defense. I'm talking about that. You know, he's going to be aggressive. He's going to be high tempo. He's going to be the guy that you're going to want on there for years on your defense. Now, he's going to be out there. You see them Raiders now. I like that. He'd be good on out there. I was like, yeah. Okay, yeah.
He's more of a pure nose tackle, but, I mean, he can do a little bit.
He can kick out the DN.
I mean, yeah. I just wish they would have taken Eric Johnson, bro.
Hey,
Tariq Woolen, they were there.
But you know what? I get it.
What is Matthew Butler going to do? Like, that's an F grade for me.
No, it's not.
Eight defensive tackles. You can take one corner.
Matthew Butler was playing majority DN at Tennessee, bro.
And what was his 40 time? It wasn't like nothing.
Sam, you go and look at the tape on fucking Butler. That motherfucker was getting off the line quick as shit.
His tape is good, but I just like.
He blew up this shrine.
But you got to remember.
That Britton Brown thing didn't make no sense either.
You got to look, bro. With Graham's defense. That was the problem. His D line was just struggling. They couldn't stop the run to save their fucking ass. That's what got me with that Giants game. Why the fuck did we stop running?
Because all they had was Dexter Lawrence, and he could only do so much by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's a monster, but like, you're 350 running a 4.8. That shit's stupid. And he's a beast. Like, and all we got was Clelin. I would have rather them taking Dexter Lawrence at four than Clelin Farrell.
Hold on. First off, I'm so sick and tired. Every fucking Raider fan jumping around saying, hey, yo, we need to get James Bradbury.
He doesn't get picks. He's a zone corner.
Bruh, this motherfucker gave up, and that was my tweet. This motherfucker gave up 19 touchdowns within four seasons.
Thank you. Panthers and the Giants.
How many of that was with New York, though, versus Carolina?
Six. So he had a total of seven with New York in two seasons.
God.
And a total of 12 with the Giants.
And still got a fat contract with the Giants. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't get picks.
And he got picks, but
stone hands. That boy got stone hands.
It landed in his lap. Yeah,
no. I don't know how many mid starting corners you can have. Like, we already have four of them, so you're going to add a fifth one, I guess.
I would have gladly taken Tariq Woolen.
I'll take James Bradbury in DC. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah, he's better than Josh Norman.
Hold on, for the Commanders.
He got drafted by Ron. Take a cheap 1 year prove it deal. He already got his money. It makes sense.
And Ron gonna be sitting there scratching his head like, here we go. It ain't really Ron, bro. is really is Del Rio running that shit. Ron kind of really has taken a step back on that defense. Fucking
yeah,
Del Rio
kind of got the not Del Rio. Ron kind of got the Herm Edwards approach to stuff. He just kind of like the mob boss. He in the back just kind of delegating everything.
Yeah, look, I'm over right now. I haven't seen too much shit. I covered a few games. I'm gonna tell you this, bro. And they about as bad as the way shit to come out of the stadium.
I mean, do you have hopes for their offense? Because, I mean, Sam Cosmi's a pretty good right tackle. I mean, Texas and everybody drafted this year.
So here's the thing. I don't have, like, hope. I'm one of those fans that's kind of like straddling the fence right now. I'm 1 foot out the door, but I'm still holding it down. This is a win-win for most fans that really want to see Dan Snyder gone. Because everything, there's something new coming out every single month.
Hey, look, we can't be talking about this loud, man. Because last time I did my investigation on Snyder, this motherfucker tried to kill me, bro.
He's laughing, but he's serious.
I'm fucking serious, bro.
It's too many haunted roads in D.C. for you to go down. The goat man went to hiding.
Hey, look, bro, ask anybody that knew I was covering this shit. Everybody like, yeah, you heard Phil got in a bad accident? You heard his brake stop working on his car?
Oh, he got ties like that?
Bam.
Real mob ties, all time highs. Bro,
hey, let me tell you something. Well, I ain't never had a clean cut on my brake on the brake line, bro. Clean cut on the brake line.
Protect this man at all costs.
But see, where would you put the commies in the ranking of the NFC East?
Well, that's my problem, man. They probably third or fourth. The way they drafted is kind of they got to draft and move to win not just the division, but to compete in the NFC. They've kind of just micromanaged this whole thing, like, oh yeah, we're close to winning the division. It hasn't really taken any moves for it. They've just kind of tried to patch holes when you need real talent.
Got to hope Carson Wentz puts up 27-7, doesn't lose you a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah. Chase Young not about to start the season healthy. Probably not. Might not come back to like mid season.
He should be ready by. I think Chase Young will be ready by week four. He should be ready.
Kerry ain't got his money yet. You got beef with De'Ron Payne for his contract. It's just looking bad.
They got for Darius Mathis as his replacement.
That draft pick was cheeks.
I was like, y'all don't even need him.
I laughed at that shit.
And that is might come back. Y'all got just the one thing y'all didn't need. Y'all could have got a safety.
Yeah, Brisker's right there. If he's not your type of safety, they might bring Landon back. That's cool, but that was a reach at a guy that'd probably be there in the third or the fourth. Just like Dotson, you traded down because you really thought Olave was going to be there. And it's like the picks you got from the Saints didn't really manifest into that much. You're telling me Brian Robinson you know what? I ain't gonna hold you. He might play more snaps than Antonio Gibson because Gibson got the fumbling issue. But he's a guy that you probably could have gotten a fourth.
You could have got Christian Watson.
You could have took Olave and still took all those guys they drafted later on based on where the board is right now or where the board was.
I just really find it hilarious. I was like, yo, really? You had to take another Dotson? I was like, here we go. Back to shit show 2.0.
Penn State wide receivers don't do so great. I'm just saying.
They can't stay healthy, bro. Apparently he got the best hands out of the draft. It's just
Josh Dotson really had the best hands too. How'd that work?
He's like it's like, what is he, like 5'10"? Maybe that's being generous.
And a 4.41.
I think he's what, 6 feet?
No, he's not 6 feet. He's definitely not. He's like 4. He's like 5'11" at the most. I mean, to wrap up, kind of like outlooks on teams and schedules. What do y'all have the commies? And what do you think the commies' record is going to be? What do you think the Raiders' record is going to be?
I got the Raiders finishing. I'm actually pulling on. Hey, if the righteous gemstone quarterback does what the fuck he's supposed to do, I got the Raiders going 13-4.
Ooh. That's scary.
Now, the Commies. Hey, look. Y'all, they looking, at best, they looking at probably 8-7.
Pray for CJ Stroud. Yes.
So, hey, now, you know who, hey, look. You know how they get the 8 wins? The Sam Howell experience.
I forgot he fell to them. I think the Raiders should have really took him because I don't trust
him. Man, I was praying for him.
He was there.
Yeah, he was. Well, apparently they said it was something wrong with the knee and
he only chicken.
He's been doing, I think that's like been like a lot of, remember when he was doing like some irritation in his knee back at the Senior Bowl? I think it's the same thing, bro. I really do. I think it's the same thing he's been dealing with in his knee.
And also, he doesn't eat chicken. Somehow. That's wild. He's only eating chicken. He's never had steak or anything else.
That's wild.
But Seth, what'd you think? Go ahead.
He don't eat no chicken?
No, he only eats chicken. He's never had.
He gonna love the shit out of Mumbo Sauce when he get out here.
Gotta keep track
of
that.
He's gonna be dipping that shit. He gonna gain. He, you know, he gonna gain probably about like 45 pounds, bro.
He gonna stop running in practice.
Hey, bro, this motherfucker gonna get. I hope he don't get this jam. Let me stop, bro.
And I'm like Zion.
Hey, I was thinking about Jared Lorenzen. That's his soul.
I mean, shout out to Will Tevis out of Kentucky next year. They got him going 7th overall, but whatever. Said, who do you think the Commies are going to do? And who do you think is going to finish with the best record in the AFC?
So, AFC. It's hard to pick against the Bills finishing with the best record in the AFC. I know you said the Raiders. I think the Raiders actually get like 12-5. I think they went for it. I think they went for it this year. I think they are building right pieces around the team, but the offense is going to be pretty hard to stop. I think the Commanders low end. See, that's the tough part is that they got the easiest strength of schedule right now. So it can actually, this can blow up in my face about them having a bad record. I think they might finish the same record, 7-10, but with the easiest schedule, I mean, they start off the season against the Jacksonville Jaguars, then go to Detroit right after that. Easily can be 2-0 after 2 weeks. Easily. But I'll roll with the same. I think they, Ron gives me very much Jeff Fisher vibes. So I'll say hovering around 500, maybe like 7 wins again, 7-10.
All right, fellas. Well, we're coming up on time on Zoom. So if you guys just want to plug your social channels, let people know what you got coming up, where they can find you, all that good stuff.
Well, you guys can find me on Twitter, Phil Jones NFL, you know, also on IG at Phil Jones NFL. Look on YouTube for the Unfiltered Truth with a P. You know, we're going to have our show. We'll probably recap a little bit more on the schedule. If you guys are Raider Nation, you're going to be out there for week 2. Look for me. And look for me to be out in NOLA for a Halloween weekend against Raiders and Saints.
Wow.
And you can find me on Twitter at Said Says, CEDD_says, SAYS. Catch me writing articles covering all things pro wrestling on DailyDDT.com. Check out the podcast. We got next covering pro wrestling as well, mainly the NXT brand. That's mainly what I do right now. Also cover some boxing, MMA here, content here that I'll be getting into more on my Twitter feed.
Are you sprinting yet? I know you're on the mend right now from the knee. How's that coming?
Yeah. So I'm gonna have another update real soon, actually. I started sprinting this past Monday.
Dope.
Awesome, man. Well, keep it up.
Like a few days ago. I'm gonna try to test it out a little bit more tomorrow. Just trying to see how it's going to respond. But I mean, if everything's right, man, I might be good in 6 months. I might.
All right.
So
that's a better start off than the new NXT brand is going. So keep it up. Yeah. We'll happen to them.
Dang, you really had to go there.
NXT is trash right now. We all know it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Shout out to Malcolm Bivens. I miss him.
Man, yeah. Don't know what to say on that one, bro.
All right, fellas. Well, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. You guys keep up the great work, and we're always good talking to both of you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me.
Peace. Peace and love.
Later. All right, man. Well, that was an unexpected roundtable. Shout out to Cedric Welton. Shout out to Phil Jones. Family of the show. Good to catch up with them. Talked a little NFL schedule, a little Kendrick, a little... Even though got some NXT jabs in there, so that was pretty dope.
You over here trying to throw Wale into the greatest MCs of all time list. I'm really tired.
Hey, I like how you low key got like that plot twisted on you real quick. You weren't expecting that.
I mean, like I said, Mississippi is. I'm gonna talk to Phil because Mississippi is very close to DC regionally compared to.
Nobody likes Big Crit like that though,
bro. Yes, they do. You are full of shit.
Honestly, though, out of all the rappers,
and Kendrick just dropped three songs on YouTube right now.
Let me finish it. The full album comes out at midnight, bro.
You just dropped three songs.
Who cares? Anyways,
they're gonna be your favorite song.
What I'm gonna say though is like, what I will give you credit for though is out of all the rappers you banged the table for, I know that at least Big Crit is like. In your rotation. Like, at least you listen to Big Crit.
In my heart, bro.
So, at least I respect that.
Soul food.
So, even if I don't agree with that, I respect it because I know you actually listen to him, like, consistently. Not like some of the other rappers you bang for that you haven't listened to.
Who?
Like, in a rotation.
Name them.
Rhapsody.
I banged the table for her when her album was out and she actually out-rapped Kendrick that year. Outside of that, she's kind of just been quiet.
Hey, shout out to Kesey in the chat, man. Sorry we didn't see you. But yeah, he said, I'm assuming he was talking about Wale and Kendrick. He said you can't beat him in a versus. And then he also shout out. He also shout out the Falcons for facing the Saints in game one. That should be a good NFC South showdown, assuming Marcus Mariota. You know, can pull his weight and the Falcons don't get curb stomped. But the Falcons were a competitive team last year, so who knows? And finally, he said the NXT has been hot garbage, but that Nikita Lyons, ooh wee.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh wee.
Her and Lash Legend, I'm like, if they actually protect them and, like, they're green. So if they actually protect those two and get them some training and, like, because Natalya was working with them, like, they can be something. But that whole where she does the split and, like, drops on the chick, I wish they would stop that because nobody does that in a real fight. Like, that part, like, the Superman punch to me is corny. Like, he's a heel. Like, Roman shouldn't be doing the Superman punch anymore. He's a fucking heel, bro. That's some shit to pop little kids. Why is he doing the Superman punch? If you really tried to jump up in the air and punch me in real life, I'm knocking your ass out. Because your chin is exposed. I'm going to fucking hit you with a knee so hard, God not going to recognize you because your brain going to be in the back of your head. Shout out to Black Bolt. But anyway, if you know, you know. Like, we didn't even get to Pusha T album. See, we just going to have a...
Yeah, C's texting me. He said, why am I mad? I don't know how C's always knows my emotions by my voice.
Because you're clearly mad. When
clearly my voice is monotone. Because
you're clearly mad. Because I'm sitting in a room with you. You're clearly mad. You're mad about the Wale thing. You're never going to let go. And you just have to let that go, bro. He's never going to be considered one of the greats. All right.
No. Hear me out. All right. I'm going to go on a tangent real quick.
Hold on.
But this is what I'm going to say.
He'll never rise above Kid Cudi.
This is what I'm going to say, right? I'm going to say it like this.
I'll put the mic down.
So people be like, ugh, you can't like Kanye because of this. You can't like X because of this. You can't like Juice WRLD because of that. You can't like Future because of that. All right, fine. I think that's stupid as fuck, but okay, whatever. But then when it comes to Kendrick, it's like, nah, but like, the message, but like, nah, like the big picture, like, nah, it's a story, like, nah, like the whole album, you gotta listen to it, like, nah, like what he's doing to the West, like, nah, there's always some bigger meaning. So it's like, it's just hypocritical to me that it's like, for some artists,
you can separate the person from the art. But with Kendrick, it's always like, well, the person amplifies the art. And it's like, okay, I get that, but at some point, we got to stop copping pleas for people who are only dropping albums once every 7 years, or, you know, for people who are the third person to drop on their label, or like what I'm saying is Kendrick is good. Like, I love Kendrick. I mess with Kendrick heavy. I listen to all his stuff. Even though I wasn't a fan from the Impetus, from the K-Dot days, like, I was really rocking with J-Rock, with Nipsey back then. But slowly, Kendrick grew on me, and like most people, he's one of my goats now at this point. But what I'm saying is, that doesn't just make me automatically like everything that he does as soon as he does it. And for a lot of people, a lot of fans, especially out here in LA, like, that's not the case. And it's like, it's good because, like he says, how you let an industry person go commercial or whatever he said. Like, oh, independent go commercial. And it's like, so I get it. It's good because he's bringing that message to a wider audience, to a bigger audience, right? Like, to Pimp a Butterfly. But at the same time, it's like, you guys don't actually like it. You just want to like it because you're told you should like it. It's fucking groupthink. There's nothing, and Kenny knows, there's nothing more that I hate across life than groupthink. Fair? Is that not fair? Do I not hate groupthink?
Hate groupthink and sometimes participate in it.
Wow. Like what? What do I participate in
groupthink? Future.
I love Future. That's not groupthink.
Tell me this last album was memorable.
It was. The last two songs. For me, with Future, it's always the last song, bro. The first song and the last song. Like, that's where he always got the most heat.
So you got like 8 skips and 2 that hit.
Even that,
would be considered a failure.
Even that Gunna Young Thug song that everyone was clowning on, which I knew they were going to clown as soon as I heard it, that shit's still hard to me. I don't care. That little whistle shit.
Yeah. Gunna uses his voice.
Tuesday tacos, Wednesday Cabo. That shit is hard, bro. I don't give a fuck. That shit is hard. Uses his voice
as an instrument, even though he's
definitely.
He won't be using his voice much longer if those RICO charges stick. Because, you know, it's about 56 charges of murder, drugs, money laundering, racketeering. Casanova 2 times. Just copped a guilty plea to racketeering. And he might serve anywhere from 5 years to like 60.
Damn.
And he's already like older. He's in his 40s damn near.
30. Young Thug's not that old.
I know, but I'm saying Young Thug was really out here killing people. Young Thug was really that dude, like, killing people and enjoying it.
Yeah, he was a gangster. Like, that's... like, how he came up. So that's why, like, he didn't with the media. That's why, like, for a long time, Young Thug did not do any interviews. He didn't talk to anyone. He didn't fuck with anyone. He'd be at red carpets on his emo shit, like, just wearing a fucking dress and some crazy shit. He'd fucking flake on interviews. He'd walk out on interviews. Like, he's just always been
that fucking annoying dude. You can tell he was transitioning into something more responsible.
Yeah, basically.
Which is like, you know, sometimes your sins catch up to you. And they saying Gunna had nothing to do with it. Because Young Thug was paying cats to stay out of the streets and come in the studio. I think Gunna was one of those dudes, too. So, when you sit back and you think about, you know... see, but here's my thing. Only people who get hit with RICO charges is black people and Latinos. But mostly black people. They'll throw you, your grandma, your fucking baby cousin, everybody in jail... because a one dude did a crime or may have done a crime. They can't even prove it. They just say, you, drugs, bad, all you niggas is getting locked up. Meanwhile, the Hells Angels are out here making millions of dollars off merchandise, motorcycle clubs, and also selling drugs and killing people. Because, you know, motorcycle gangs kill people. Like, the Hells Angels were literally... you could say, oh, there's a bunch of clubs that don't. Guess what? They're gang sets that don't kill people either. It's gangs in Hawthorne, Gardena that are peaceful, Latino and black gangs that are peaceful. Outside of it's like some Mexican mafia type shit, then yeah, you hear about it. But there's a whole bunch of gangs that actually are peaceful and don't commit crimes. It's just they repping where they from. And they got to check the temperature because you can't just let somebody who's not from somewhere come around and try to throw their weight around. Somebody going to do something. So when it, now when drugs and money get involved, that's when it gets complicated. But yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of musical careers get ruined behind this, and it's always hip hop and it's always black people. But I'll never like, what's her name? Carrie Underwood didn't get fucking thrown in jail or arrested for that song "When He Cheats." So you could bust out the windows in my car, cut my fucking brake line, all that other shit. I could get into a car accident and die because of what you did, but you don't get those lyrics used against you in court. Taylor Swift doesn't have her lyrics used against her in court.
Honestly, I thought that whole thing was like YSL? Fake. Yeah, my friend said it to me, and I was real, like, bro. I was like. I thought it was like a. I thought he was sending me like a troll tweet of like some white dude who read the news and was like, "Oh, what is YSL?" And I was like,
"Why isn't Jack Harlow in there?"
And I was like, "Isn't YSL just Young Thug's label?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I guess that's what I haven't read into it enough, so I can't really speak on it.
They clean the money through there.
But from what it sounds like is basically
a witch hunt.
Sounds like some Death Row shit.
No, it's worse.
But
than
it
Death
sounds,
Row.
But it's worse because it's the actual artist. It's not even Death the producer.
Row, it's Murder Inc. times 100. Because they actually got these boys on charges. Like they gave themselves up already. It might be over for Young Thug. And when the feds come and get you, because they finally have enough to come get you. And it don't matter if you didn't do nothing. The same way, like the one of the dudes who was around Tekashi 6ix9ine didn't actually commit any crimes. He was just a driver. He was innocent. He's in prison doing federal time.
You know what? What honestly, Young Thug is like one of the only big artists that I haven't seen. He's on my list, but like as far as people that are active right now rapping, like he's probably the biggest name that I haven't seen that I want to see, and so. This has probably been going on for a minute because I feel like he hasn't done any big festivals and he always does festivals. So to me, like that was kind of a red flag. Like, why is he all of a sudden not doing music festivals?
Well, I mean,
because he wasn't on any of the Rolling Louds and he's always on the Rolling Louds.
I mean, shit, look what happened with Travis Scott. Like, some cats take time off. But he's probably doing so much time in the studio.
Nah. That's not what it is, because he doesn't do that. He'll still work in the studio and still do festivals. That's what he's been doing. And now festivals are coming back. They've been gone for 2 years. Like, that's... This next 1 to 3 years is going to be fucking crazy for
festivals
performances.
And touring.
Yeah. Like, people are going to be getting out there. I think even music, like, we're finally going to start getting drops. Because honestly, since, like, 2017, 2018, 2019, like, to me, 2017 was, like, the height. 2015 was, like, the height. Now everything's just kind of starting to taper off. But I think we're going to see another kind of bump.
I just think it's crazy how they might wipe out that whole label. And one of the most talented musical artists out there. For something that was in their past or something that just because of their rep you can accuse them of. But again, I find it funny how like black people's intellectual property can be used against them to throw them in jails for crimes they may or may not have committed, but it's never the same for white people.
Damn.
All these metal singers, all these death metal singers are just saying wild shit. None of them get... any jail time. Marilyn Manson ain't in jail yet. How many charges he got against him? How many rape accusations has he had against him? Sexual assault, beating the shit out of females. Like, he's skated on a lot of stuff. Gunna Young Thug, all these cats, everybody goes away like that in seconds. That's corny to me, but you know, we live in a very unjust society and a very unjust justice system, and the fact that you can use rap lyrics against somebody, that's the case. Everybody who's a battle rapper should be serving
time. Metro!
Metro went on a rap basically saying he's seen firsthand how many jobs YSL has given to black people and how many lives it's turned around.
That's what I'm saying.
Over the past 10 years, which to think about Young Thug being in the game for 10 years, like, that's fucking crazy, bro. Like, yeah. I remember watching some shit on Vice when it was him, Yachty, and the Migos, and they were all, like, young and, like, this new wave of Atlanta music. And now, like, fuck, that was 10 years ago.
And all the cats who were actually...
That's wild, bro. Like, and they were, like, coming up as basically independents. You know, not any big labels behind them, and they blew up the whole game. Like, it's crazy.
You got cats like Rallo. All the rappers who are actually doing something to, like, create wealth for the community and give people jobs where they're from, they're the ones all getting busted and thrown in jail, which reminds me of, like, Lupe Fiasco's famous line, "You threw us in the ghetto, and then you took our dads." So, I mean, it's history repeating itself. Because, again, you can't name any white death metal singers who are out here going to prison for their fucking disgusting, murderous lyrics. They do drugs. White rock stars don't do drugs. So, I mean, it's just weird to keep seeing this when there's already, like, legal precedent saying you can't throw somebody in jail for some shit that they say, like First Amendment rights. Oh, because somebody is doing dope, somebody is selling dope or whatever, you trace it back to somebody prominent. So it's like, are people gonna snitch, allegedly, if you want to call it snitching? Are people going to look out for themselves? Are people going to lose their intellectual property and have to start all over? Are people going to get Bobby Schmurdered and Rowdy Rebeled? Remy Lod? Who knows? Guess we'll see. But at least Kendrick is dropping music tomorrow. Now you see why Kendrick stays the fuck out the way.
Yeah, man. It's fucking wild to me. But anyways, let's go ahead and move on to college football.
So I think he won the bullet in the coffin. I'm pretty sure he did. Pittsburgh wide receiver Braylon Addison transferred from Pittsburgh. His coach, Pat Narduzzi's mad about it, pretty pissed. Everybody was saying he's probably going to go to USC. He has, like, a fucking record-breaking NIL deal. People are mad and up arms about it. Got their whatever in a bunch. And Deion Sanders coming out saying, you know, none of this is really NIL. It's name, image, likeness, but I don't see anybody's name or image on anything or the likeness on anything. It's boosters giving out money. It's essentially, because if that's the case, I would, you know how much money I would be getting right now, which he has a point. He'd be getting a ton of money, but they were getting cats were getting money back then. So that's my issue is, like, with people saying this is the bad thing.
Everyone knows I've been killed before.
I feel like it's really, it's disingenuous to sit up here and say that these kids are, oh, they're not going to work as hard because they're getting this money. The NFL still exists. If you can get money to square your family away, I'm sorry, but last time I checked in the country we live in, money and the lack of money is usually the biggest problem everybody has. If you have your faculties, your mental faculties, your physical faculties, you have somewhere to stay. If you meet the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you know where your next check is coming in, if all you got to do is play college football, which is what you want to do anyway, you don't really want to go to class. You're only there. I mean, yeah, you'll get the degree, but you're only really there to play football. Guess what? There's a bunch of five-star athletes who never pan out, but you still get that recruit because it helps with program sales. It helps with recruiting. You need talent. Even if the talent doesn't pan out, there's always going to be some person who was like a zero-star recruit who comes out of nowhere, or a two-star who outplays a five-star. That's life. That happens. But because people are getting big time money, getting six figure deals, and they're playing football. Well, this dude was the best receiver in college football. If Kenny Pickett was getting all this acclaim and his best receiver was bailing him out, well, then yeah, he should get paid. Now, if he wants to leave Pittsburgh because he doesn't trust Keaton Slovis, which I don't really trust Keaton Slovis either, but if he wants to leave and go to USC and he sees what they're building, well, you can't really be mad at him. And if he sits out this year to prepare, then can go to the draft next year. I mean, not next year, but like the year after. I don't see anything really wrong with that. Now, if you're going to say, oh, these guys are signing contracts and have to agree to things and have taxes worked out, you can find a tax person to fix your tax situation. You can sign a deal with the booster, and if you choose to break that deal, that's on you. I mean, hell, there's people at Texas with NIL deals, and Texas sucks. Their running back, Bijan Robinson, has a deal with, I think, Lamborghini. He just signed an NIL deal with Lamborghini. And yeah, he had a great individual season, but Texas sucked ass. They got a team full of five stars and they're trash. One of their assistant coaches, there's multiple videos, video him on a bus cussing everybody out after they lost the game. They lost to Kansas this past year. So people are getting pissed and worked up about NIL. And now they're working on deals that'll prevent boosters from, there's reports of like they're working on guidelines and bylines to prevent boosters from giving a certain amount of money. Well, it's like you can't open up Pandora's box and then want to close it, because I think the NCAA and other people aren't getting as much money as they would be getting.
I think ultimately this whole thing sparred from what? From California, what, Illinois, like these different states, Florida, who were like, nah, the NCAA is wrong. You can make money off your name, image, and likeness, regardless if you're getting a school education, etc. And so the NCAA was like, well, fuck. It's only a matter of time now, because one domino fell, two dominoes fell, three, four, five are falling. So fuck it. We're just going to unify it to somewhat even the playing field. But what they essentially did was just open up the floodgates, which, I don't know. I think there's two sides of the coin. Like, on one side, I feel like they should just let it fucking play out. And I feel like the market is going to play itself, and the biggest schools were always going to get the biggest money. But then, on the other side of it, like, I do feel like because the smaller schools and maybe not even smaller schools, like schools that maybe weren't on the biggest, like the schools that weren't getting the biggest names because of their football product,
Boise State,
were finding ways to get guys money and get guys NIL deals and Akron, get scholarships. Yeah, exactly. So like
fucking Middle Tennessee State.
So I feel like,
you want a Bojangles deal?
So sure. I feel like it did kind of benefit them for a little bit, and I feel like that's good for college football, because I feel like we for sure had parity this year, maybe even too much parity. But ultimately,
Bama got clapped. That's all I care about.
I don't know where I stand on it, but I just kind of am ready to see it play out.
That's my whole thing. Like the transfer portal. I mean, there's like more people in the transfer portal than there are on teams. But guess what? That's on them.
And that's cool, because it's like
free market economy, baby.
Yeah, we wanted the transfer system for how long? Like, we always dreamt of being able to just transfer and do whatever the fuck we wanted, right?
Florida's notorious for doing their own players dirty.
But I'm just saying,
Robert Marv got a degree and wasn't allowed to transfer.
What I'm saying is, even when we were playing in high school, we wanted to transfer. We were like, fuck this shit. I would transfer, but I can't because I got to sit out a year. Well, now you ain't got to deal with that shit, right?
Even in high school, bro. There's red shirts.
But that's
what
I'm saying, yeah. But
let me redshirt you.
But now that now that it's easier, it's like, all right, go ahead, transfer, restart your whole fucking network and your whole fucking job and everything. And then on the college scale, it's that same thing, but times 100. So it's like, okay, like those young athletes you had on with Smith and Powerhouse. Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay, you want to transfer? Go for it. But if you don't have a plan, you're just one of a thousand trying to get on to one of a few hundred spots. Because guess what? They're still looking at what's new, what's young, and what's hotter than you are right now. So,
and go where you can play. And high school students, we feel bad for you because y'all getting screwed the most out of all this. At this point, they just let your first 2 years be like not count against you, not count against the clock. Like, if it was me, like, I'm like, if you're coming out of high school, you came up through COVID, let's say you didn't have football your freshman, sophomore year, you automatically get like 2 years of eligibility. Because they got to backlog this somehow. I mean, there are people who are just going to miss out. Like, there's, like, just 3 years of cats who just, like, the cats who used to coach at Birmingham. I think he's at New Mexico State now. Imagine what would have happened if, you know, COVID didn't get canceled, the transfer portal didn't blow up the way it did. I'll give everybody a perfect example of why the adults need to really just stop meddling and leave this shit alone. Jordan Davis, defensive tackle out of Georgia, went 13th overall to the Eagles. He purposely would not take NIL money. This was like 2 years ago. He refused to take NIL money. Said, I'm not going to do it. I'm an amateur. I don't play to get paid. I'm playing to make it to the NFL where I can get paid. I'll get paid there. I can hold off. He went to Georgia.
And that's why he only plays 45% of the snaps.
That's funny as hell. But no, like, that's really the biggest story is because Braylon Addison is the best receiver in the country. Potential first round pick. You know, was getting passes thrown in from Kenny Pickett. And everybody's saying he might go to USC. But the funny thing is, Kenny Pickett almost ended up in the transfer portal because rumors came out that Notre Dame was trying to get him to leave Pitt to come to Notre Dame. And he stayed at Pitt and had the career year that he had. And Pat Narduzzi didn't have much to say. But because it's Lincoln Riley in USC and they just got to transfer a defensive lineman from Wyoming because they lost Elijah Winston.
And didn't the Shrine Bowl MVP, he got picked up somewhere? Or did he go in the seventh round?
You talking about Ali?
No.
He went to the Eagles.
The quarterback.
Which?
Jack.
Jack Cohen?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I forget where he went.
But he went either in the seventh round or he went undrafted.
Might have went to the Saints. I don't remember. But that's my biggest thing is like with this transfer situation, them trying to regulate it, it's too late. When you like Miami is on record for like not letting guys transfer. Like Robert Maher, if y'all don't remember him, you definitely don't remember him. But he was a QB who got his degree. And once you get your degree, you're allowed to transfer anywhere you want. And this was like 2018. Miami wouldn't let him transfer. They said, like, here's like 30 schools you can't go to. Well, guess what? You can only, if you're a grad transfer, you can only go where they have something that fits your program and your major. So not only are they deterring your ability to make money with your degree and future after football, like, that's the antitrust lawsuit right there. And they did that to him and like three other QBs at Miami. Miami's notorious for doing that to people. Other schools are notorious. In the Pac-12, they've done it to a bunch of people. Cats had to go somewhere else to a lower level to play football just to get the grad degree because their school wouldn't let them go to the school they want to do. Wes Lunt, Oklahoma State, did that to him. He couldn't go to other schools in the Big 12. And he's grad transferring because, one, he knows he's not going to play there, and, two, he can get a degree somewhere else at the school he wants to go to. Because they may or may not be competition or future opponent, they had the ability to take that away from guys. And that went on for like 20-some-odd years. So I don't feel any kind of sympathy for these schools, these ADs. Now you know what it's like when the rabbit has the gun. You can't do shit. And if you try to sue or say boosters can't do something, you might get sued. You just got to sit back and let athletes do what they're going to do. And that's the fair thing. That's really it for college football. Till media day starts.
All right, man. So first off, we already talked about the ones you have on Take Your Tangent. So I'm just going to use the touchdown or turnover ones you have for Take Your Tangent. All right, first up, man. Josh Lambeau, the dude who infamously got kicked by Urban Meyer, is suing the Jaguars. You got to take your attention on that.
For $3.5 million pain and
every single stress. NFL fan should get a class action lawsuit, and we should all get about $13 for the amount of stress that Urban Meyer may or may not have caused us.
I should get at least about a year's worth of salary.
Wow.
Parallel to like the structure in California. Like, just give me a year's worth of minimum wage salary. And watch what I do with that shit. Find out what the minimum wage is in California. Multiply that 40 hours a week for 52 weeks, tax free, and put that shit in my bank account. And that's just from the years of pain and suffering I've had to watch and deal with Urban Meyer. Because that dude is my top five of people who I wouldn't want to be around my kids. Because he's not a man of high character. Kind of a piece of shit.
All right, here's another one for you. Ravens running back Mike Davis had over 100K worth of jewelry and custom cleats stolen. Mike Davis, take our tangent on that.
Ravens now?
Yeah.
I thought he was still in the Falcons. Shit.
Nah, I think he left. Sure.
I mean, this is something I was thinking about. It wasn't like a dream, but it was like a scenario I had in my head where like I'm interviewing players who have been robbed in the league, and I'm like, so how have you...
What did you learn?
Like, from the time I was thinking about Derwin James for some reason, I was like...
Remember when he got robbed
in like broad, not daylight, but
just
broad,
like a rob, like a rob follow up series. Like, hey, since you've been robbed,
what have you? Do you actually have private security now? Do you still wear bling and chains out in public?
What are we titling this? Are you driving? Show?
See, here's the thing. I was gonna say, you know, they have like reclaiming your time.
Yeah.
I was going to say, stealing back what's mine.
Hey, okay. It kind of sounds a little Lifetime-y, but we'll workshop it.
I mean, how many cats?
You getting there?
You know, claiming my time, stealing my shit back.
Yeah, it kind of sounds a little single mom got walked out on and came back and somehow stole the whole house and yacht.
I survived off... Dick cheese and fucking goat milk as a baby.
And graduated from Harvard and somehow beat the shit out of your wife and murdered you and didn't catch a charge.
Yeah. But then like my brother, my younger brother saw that, got a scholarship at Florida State, and then became like an NFL superstar. But nah, in all seriousness, like I would ask players who've been robbed. I know cats who work in security in LA and they tell me shit and I'm just like, yeah, why would you come to LA with your own squad?
Like, bro, you could actually do this as a show. Like, I think it would actually be pretty cool. Like, even people who've been like in financial fraud and schemes, like Darren McFadden, like some of the other players have lost Bitcoin. Like, so what did you learn from that? Like, now that you're on the other side of it, like, do your friends like casually joke about it? Like, what's that like? Like, do you get clowned on now? Like,
how many people in
your wife balance the checkbook now? Like,
how many people
like,
in your family?
Like, respectfully, like, I'm not asking to like slander you. Like, I just really want to know, like what were the checks and balances that are in place now to like,
is your tax situation good? How many people in your family do you not talk to anymore?
Damn, that's a good one. Yeah. We just workshopped the whole series right now live on the air.
If I could ask Derwin, I would be like, so what are you telling rookies coming in about living in LA? What have you learned about LA culture? Because it's a very extortion-based culture in LA when you're famous. You will get extorted depending on who you're at and who you're trying to hang around. There's, I mean, like, you got to... You got to be low key out here. That's the thing. If you're in LA, you got to learn to be low key.
Yeah, man. Shout out to a Darren McFadden. I heard him on the air for the Raiders draft show, and he's doing well now. Like, he's getting into coaching. He's living his best life, being a dad and all that stuff, man. So turn it around. Shout out to him.
Well, what would you tell your younger self? And if you had NIL, realistically, what would you have done? What would you have done with the NIL money back then?
Could you imagine what Jay would have did at Arkansas? The Clintons?
Whew. Imagine.
Him and Felix would have just had a yacht, bro, in Arkansas.
Felix, Peyton, and Darren McFadden, and Ryan Mallett, and Jeremy Childs.
Damn.
And their left tackle, who wasn't that great. Tony something. But his last name is like right there.
They probably were already doing all that crazy shit.
Houston.
But it would have been on the books.
Chris Houston.
But it would have been on the books.
Like, for real, like, yo, do you just have a budget for like private security? Like, all the money that you spend on jewelry, do you ever think maybe I should just buy like military grade weapons or like military grade like security people to be around me and my family at all times? Like, when do you look at some of the jewelry you buy and think this is a stupid ass investment? Or do you ever think that? When is enough jewelry not enough? Like, how much of the jewelry and cars you buy a coping mechanism for how poor you grew up as a kid?
Facts.
And are you ready to address that?
I think it's even more than just that, than just being as a kid. It's kind of like,
why do you feel the need to flaunt?
Something empty. It's the same thing with rappers. It's like there's just something missing. So it's like you're looking for that something that's missing, but it's really nurturing and care. And that doesn't come from a chain. That comes from growing up and being a man and learning to love your kids in ways that you were never loved.
Because everything, I think I heard Math Hoffa say it, former battle rapper, on his podcast. And he said, everything that you want for your kid, you really just wanted it for yourself.
Yep.
You wanted that protection and that care for yourself. So instead of enforcing what you want in your kid, why don't you just, now that you're an adult and you know better, give that to yourself so you don't have to keep passing on like a toxic trait of lack to your kid. And they can just exist as who they are and then find their place in the world and fill their cup rather than you just give them a preordained cup and then they carry that cup their whole life and realize that cup don't mean shit once you get to a certain point. But this is something that I was thinking about, like what that would look like if you could, like, because Josh Lambeau's case, he could easily win it, get his $3.5 million salary from the Jags just based off how stupid Urban Meyer was. Like, yeah, NFL, they got to pay me, dude. Like, you got a coach kicking me. You got a coach fucking kicking me, bro. Like, I'm a better NFL player than this dude ever was a college coach. Like, he never made it big in the pros. I'm in the pros. I'm actually that dude. And this dude fired me and I'm out of a job for some bullshit reason. Yeah, I want my pain and suffering money.
All right, man. We're moving forward. We got a touchdown or turnover. First one I got for you. The Dallas mayor says he wants a second NFL team in the Big D. We got the sound, but the real life is better.
Do that at will.
I'd rather see a team in San Antonio.
Bro,
I'd rather see a team in Spurs. Portland. I'd rather see a team in
the Spurs.
Oakland.
I'd rather see a team in Seattle.
There is a team in Seattle.
I'm talking about sports teams in general. Like, people.
No, I'm talking about an NFL team.
Bro, Texas has three NFL teams. They don't need any more. None of them have won a Super Bowl in our fucking lifetime.
Who's the third one?
The Texans.
Who's the second one?
The Cowboys.
Who's the first one?
That's the point.
Longhorns?
Yeah. They're pretty much an NFL team.
I guess.
And they don't put anybody in NFL this year.
That's wild. I can't believe that. All right, next up, the Broncos being sold for $5 billion. Touchdown, turnover.
With your broke ass.
We just looked at it today.
That's another turnover. I saw that last week.
What is Denver? Denver's like the 17th market or something?
Only $5 billion.
That's kind of a lot, bro, for them.
Nah.
Kind of a lot.
Because the Raiders are what? Like, definitely worth like 50, 60 million?
No, they're worth way more than that. They're worth way more than that.
They're worth a billion. The Raiders are worth a billion, right?
The Raiders were taking bids. No, I'm sorry. That's for the stadium. A couple billion. That's for the stadium. But yeah, the stadium alone was like
half a billion.
Was like $2 billion.
So the Raiders. So and they own.
No, they don't own that. Do they own that?
The city paid for it.
City paid for some of it.
Half of it, right?
Yeah, the Raiders might own it. I'm not sure. I think they do because his net worth went up substantially after that. But yeah, they're worth. If the Broncos are worth. Hold on, let me look it up. I need to figure out what. Okay, so Denver.
$5 million is not a lot.
So Denver is the 17th market, right? Well, the
Texans got to be worth, the Panthers got to be worth more than that.
The Raiders are in the 40th market, and they've got to be worth at least
a couple $5 billion.
They've got to be worth at least $5 billion. What?
Shit, I could say $100 billion if we're being honest. You factor in the team, the upkeep of the stadium, the fact that the Raiders are a global brand. They have cachet.
The Bills are worth $3 billion.
It'd be worth more than the Broncos, if we're being honest.
But the Broncos have more rings, and they have a bigger brand.
They're living off Elway and only Elway.
That's a brand, and they
just have
Elway.
They're
an original AFL team.
They just have Elway, and that's it. Take out Elway. If he goes and plays baseball, the Broncos never win shit. Because they only got that ring because Elway convinced Peyton to come.
Raiders are estimated to be worth about $3.5
billion. Yeah, I'm about to say, they have to be worth billions.
But that's just what they're worth. That's not what they're being cash. Sold for. That's not what they would actually, what they're actually being sold for.
But you got to expect, the Raiders are getting sold for like $100 million.
I don't know about that, but
like, because I mean, if the Broncos are
okay,
sold for $8 million or $5 million.
So the Forbes valuation for the Broncos is $3.75 billion, and like I said, they had the Raiders at $3.5 billion.
That's off.
You're keeping the scale the same, the Raiders got to be at least worth $5 billion too. Like, they've got to be worth 4.75 at least.
The Raiders have to be worth close to $10 billion globally. Like, they're a global brand. The Broncos are not a global brand. No one in Liverpool's wearing a fucking Broncos jersey. No one in Scotland's wearing a Broncos jersey. There might be one or two people. I can find a Raiders fan in Africa. I'm almost guaranteed I could. I can find a Raiders fan on every continent, damn near, except Antarctica. Because I would never go to Antarctica because I don't fuck with octopuses like that and squids, and I don't want to know what's under that ice. It should just stay there.
Yeah, according to this article from CBS, the Broncos are worth more than all the other teams in Denver, which are owned by who? The Cronkies.
So the Cronkies are just getting richer and richer.
Yep.
Outside of the Broncos, because they don't own them.
The magnitude of the Broncos sales highlights how much NFL teams are worth. It's a historic sales price, even in the top 25% of NFL team values. There are 9 teams worth more than the Broncos, including the Cowboys.
But they're only selling for what, $8 million?
So they're getting sold. They're getting sold for, well, the bid right now is $5 billion. So
I said million. I was like, what the fuck?
So then the Cowboys would go for at least like 10.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Like, they would go for at
least
10.
That scale doesn't make sense. Like, the Cowboys are global. The Raiders are global. The Packers are global. The Niners, you could say, are global.
But it's also, do you own your own stadium? You know, do you own your own operations, like Rams, the concessions, like the concessions, the staff, merch, all that stuff? You know, do you have your trademarks in order in terms of like owning all the merch, like how that breaks down, like all the licenses, the TV deals, like all that stuff adds up. And the other thing too is Denver is in Colorado, which is a little bit
Rocky Mountain High.
Not just that, but it's a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a little bit,
they're making way much more money off weed.
It's a bigger fish in a smaller, wider, more affluent pond, I guess you could say. But yeah, so I think that's about it for our touchdown or turnover. So let's get to the rants. I don't even know where we're at on time. Coming up on time. So, do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
Okay, so California's minimum wage is going to rise to $15.50, triggered by the rising cost of inflation. So, yeah. Multiply $15.50, 52 weeks, calendar year. That's how much money I should be getting for having to deal with this Urban Meyer bullshit. But, yes, I saw Multiverse of Madness. It was dope. It'll be interesting to see how everything goes from here on out. I just want to say they're building a Dave's Hot Chicken. Thorn and Artesia. And I'm not okay with that shit, man. I don't want a Dave's Mid Chicken in the South Bay. Like, Dave's chicken is just hot. That's it.
And it's, you're like, trying to get Firebird the fuck out of here.
Bro, Firebird ain't going nowhere. Thick ass. Man.
I ain't seen nobody in that spot except for you.
No, it's a lot of people who come through there. And they have a whole eating. They have a whole eating. Don't slander.
And there's a Cane's right there, too.
Don't slander black businesses, motherfucker.
And there's a Cane's right there, too.
Yep, and I'll go to both of them. And by the way, I had some white truffle mac and cheese this week. Shout out to Lemonade. When you can find some place that has really good mashed potatoes, like, I honor and appreciate it. But no, in all seriousness, yeah, get Dave's fucking hot chicken and mid fries and shake up out of here, bro. All that money for a hot ass chicken sandwich that's just hot. Like, let me just make it hot, nothing else. Bro, I could get a better combination of food at a wing stop on a Monday when they're giving out like 10 and 15 cent wings and shit. I could put that into a sandwich. I could take some bread, put some butter and some honey on it, throw it in the oven, toast that shit.
You'd rather have those
sandwich. I'd rather eat
You'd
that.
Rather have those Rally's cafeteria tenders with some fucking Lowry's on it.
I'd rather Rally's purposely get my order wrong and I just don't go back to get it fixed and eat like a milkshake that I didn't want, than to eat at Dave's Hot Chicken ever again. Like, the shit is so mid, it shoots 70% from the fucking field, okay?
Like, I almost slapped my little brother when he said it was better than Top Tenders.
Bro, Dave's Hot Chicken is so mid, it literally played in the fucking NBA in the 60s and 70s, carved out a Hall of Fame career in the ABA and the NBA. Like, I don't know what's more mid. I don't know what has more consistency in its midness. Dave's Hot Chicken's chicken or Chris Paul's fucking elbow from the shoulder mid jump shot. Like, I don't know what's more automatic. His jump shot, his mid range jumper, or Dave Hot Chicken being fucking mid.
All right. Are you done yet?
It's so mid. I'm tired. It's so mid. Honestly, if I could have Dave's Hot Chicken on the Lakers or DeMar DeRozan, I might as well just take DeMar DeRozan. That's how mid they are.
I hate your basketball takes.
Well,
all right.
He's an excellent mid jump shooter. That's what DeMar DeRozan does well, is that he is an excellent.
I got the joke. Shooter. I'm just saying. I hate your basketball takes. Anyways, for me, it's been a long, crazy week. Not nearly as successful in a number of ways as I would have liked, but just got to keep going onward and upward. Keep pushing. Keep making the best of it. I don't know who needs to hear it, but wherever you are, whatever you're going through, just got to keep going. Keep pushing because it will get easier. One thing that I did do this week, I finished They Call Me Magic. It was a pretty good show. I know there's folks out there who probably finished Winning Time too. I also finished that. If you didn't know how it ends, you're probably a real Laker fan because, yeah, a lot of Laker fans probably didn't even know how it ended because they're idiots. But besides that, I really loved Winning Time because – honestly, everybody hated it, and so that, to me, signals that there's probably some truth to it. And honestly, like, we gotta stop taking sports history so fucking serious. Not everything has to be sports entry. Like, it's okay if we want to make things a little bit dramatic and make them a little bit more interesting, or maybe just highlight all the drama and not all the mundane and friendly shit we saw in interviews and press conferences and all that stuff. Like, it's okay to show some different stuff sometimes as far as Winning Time. Now, as far as They Call Me Magic, I thought it was dope just because obviously I didn't live during that time. So I didn't see a lot of that, and getting to understand Magic's timeline and his ups and downs and, you know, how that affected his personal life and his family was kind of interesting. The thing that I didn't like was I feel like it was kind of a PR thing in terms of it kind of grazed over some stuff. Like, it didn't even touch on the Paul Westhead thing. Like, didn't even touch on the Kareem thing. It didn't even, like, it just barely dipped into kind of how Magic, like, it kind of let you know how Magic's business career, like, started and kind of, like, some of his ideas and his strategy. But you didn't actually see, like, the tactics behind it. And you didn't really see all the successes and the failures. Like, it kind of just breezed over a lot. And so in terms of seeing it, opening my eyes as someone who hasn't seen it, like, it was good. But in terms of, like, if you knew Magic, it probably wasn't anything new to you. And, like, if you didn't, I don't know if it's probably the most, like, fair and complete picture of him and some of the things that he did during his life and went through in his life, but it's worth watching. I don't know. But, yeah, man, shout out to our friend of the show, Cedric Weldon. Shout out to Phil Jones, whole family. Tap in with them. Shout out to everyone who listens to us, fucks with us. Shout out to my house, my roommates, all the crazy people in this building for listening to this podcast inadvertently because our walls are way too damn thin. But yeah, man, outside of that, you can catch us on your favorite podcast app. You can catch us on social media, TDs_tangents. And yeah, shout out to X-Squad Affiliates. Shout out to the Good News. Shout out to FBC Radio. And
if these walls could talk,
check out the Kendrick album. I'm sure we'll have some good takes next week.
You got a Kodak Black track on here.
In the meantime, Free Thugger.
Free Gunner. Everyone know I've been killed before. I've been
rent like a centerfold. I crap with my money, no. Drop that top, get a burrito. Got 4 million in jewelry, oh. Let that money fly to the ceiling, whoa. You pay someone's tuition, no. Do you own a store, no? Fuck all that bullshit. Diamonds for all us kings, yeah. Got my money with Ludacris. Get some rest of a hood, bitch. Get some rest of a pulpit. Look at the grain, it's wood, bitch. On the floor, it's a. She's a dick like a whole tick. Come on. Diamonds on me, they call it shit. I thank God that I went legit. And what? When we see him, you know he blicks. I can bet up, you know I'm rich. Let go. Shut the fuck up, nigga. Bet up, say you rich. Say, say, different color diamonds, I'm a peacock. Different color diamonds, I'm a peacock. Spot full of birdies with no tree top. You know you my son, you can. Got a heaven in the state, don't test me. Hundreds up to God knees. Ain't gone broke until 2007. Everyone know I've been.
Shout out to Serve too.
I've been bent like a cinnabon. I crap with my money, no. Drop that top.
That was hella random.
She was always pro thugger.
That is true. Shout out to Serve.
Did you pay someone's tuition? No. Do you own a store? No.
Peace.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.